Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And welcome into Redacted. Welcome, Rebels, to the show on this Wednesday edition of Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we seek the truth wherever it leads us. We are battling, of course, massive censorship. We are battling massive propaganda from the mainstream media. Try to dig around on mainstream media websites this afternoon to find deeper information about the Nord Stream 2 explosions, and you won't find it, especially if you live in the United Kingdom. They're downranking videos and content. So on this show, you have a safe place where we can have a discussion about the big stories of the day without an agenda. So we've got a lot to talk about today on the show. We're going to talk about warnings of World War III unfolding, Vladimir Putin launching a massive military attack on multiple targets and issuing a big warning to the global reset agendaists, the globalists, this afternoon. And we'll bring you the very latest on the Nord Stream pipeline updates, because we learned a boatload of information this afternoon.
And what happens when Europe and Germany have no options for affordable energy? Winter is coming. That's not just a line from Game of Thrones. That is true. And we are in danger collectively.
We've got a special guest. Ralph Schulhammer is going to be joining us here on the show to talk about what Germany does. And there is something big happening in Germany at this hour. So we'll bring you that. And we're also going to talk about who is really running the White House. It certainly doesn't. Certainly isn't President Biden. Who is running the executive branch, the largest part of our government in the United States? Who's running it? And some really disturbing images from President Biden over the last 24 hours. Like, there is nobody home, but you are home and you are welcome here, because Redacted starts right now. Microphone closer to your mouth. Do it. Do it, Natalie.
Be quiet.
Do it. Put that microphone closer
Don't
to your mouth.
Me.
No, but it falls down. It falls down. I'm telling you, it needs to be tightened.
All right, stop arguing. We're live now.
Oh, we're live.
This was your reminder that we are Clayton and Natalie Morris, and we are a married couple, and bickering is a major portion of our love language. It's not for you to ring in on, but we have invited you to observe it, and it's all in good spirit, as is our relationship with David and Philip, who are in the booths.
Yeah, our producers.
Their respective booths.
Hello, hello.
Yes, thank you guys.
Although you might not hear us bicker the same way quite, you know. But.
No, it's more direct. Well, it's a little bit more direct, and they are brothers, so when they bicker, it's like straight on. Like, what are you doing, you moron?
I don't have to sleep in the same bed with him, so I'll tell him exactly what I think, and there's no consequence.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Well, you know, my sister and I, we now go to, our kids go to the same school, and people just can't be around us when it comes to, like, PTA events. They're like, those women are so strange.
They're bizarre.
Yeah.
Get me away from these women. But we welcome you into our show. So glad to have you all here. Thank you so much for subscribing. If you do subscribe to the show right here over the beautiful city of Porto in Portugal, your name will appear, and you will become a subscriber. It'll appear right there. Danny just subscribed, so thank you so much. And we also have a daily newsletter that we should mention. Please subscribe. It's totally free. We had a record number of signups yesterday. So thank you to the thousands of you who signed up for the newsletter. We hope we bring you value first thing in the morning over your cup of coffee. Literally, it'll take you 5-10 minutes to read it. We kind of get you caught up on the day. You put in your email address there and you click submit. Very, very simple by going to redacted.inc. And then you'll see the welcome email. You'll get this new welcome email that says, hey, add us to, you know, make sure we don't go to your spam folder, etc. And then you can actually read through the newsletter. We cover about 4 or 5 big stories, plus some in case you missed it. Today we were covering, of course, the devastating hurricane. This is today's newsletter, actually. So the people of Florida were thinking of you, and all of the people in Cuba that just were devastated. They're without power. The people of the Caribbean, of course, who are also been devastated. So we covered a lot of the big stories in the newsletter, redacted.inc.
Many in Florida now are just waiting to see how long they will continue to have power. So yeah. If you are watching us and you still have power, I hope you're on a charger so that if anything happens, you keep your phone charged for as long as possible.
Yeah. Are you guys, let us know how many of you are in the eye of this thing. Are you guys in Florida? Are you nearby? Let us know. Please, we welcome you here on this and we're thinking of you. So anyway, Eric says, they're fine in Florida. Okay, Eric.
Odd Job Bob says, read the newsletter for the first time. Totally good. Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank you for that.
Well, we hope our show is equally as good because we've worked very hard on it all afternoon to bring you the latest on a number of big stories. So let's start with the big story of the day, which, of course, is what's happening with Ukraine, Russia, what's happening with the Nord Stream pipeline, and the very latest. So Russia announced today that the world is being reordered. That we are watching a new world order unfolding right before our eyes. And I can't disagree with that. I mean, guys, we are witnessing a huge moment in history, in world history. We are watching the collapse of Western governments in real time, by the way. We are watching sort of the desperation of the World Economic Forum and these globalists who are sort of clinging to these this plan that is crumbling right before our eyes. This all comes as Russia launched massive military strikes inside Ukraine at multiple targets. Army units destroyed. They even shot down a Ukrainian aircraft, which I didn't even know Ukraine had any aircraft left, by the way. And they destroyed a number of major American weapons. But this also comes at the same time because a few hours ago, President Biden just announced a massive new aid package to Ukraine. Did he not?
It was Congress that put this up just a few days ago, quietly, right? Because there are a lot of needs inside the U.S. borders that Congress is giving lip service to, such as Puerto Rico, which continues to be underwater without power. But Congress has continued to make Ukraine their priority. Last week, they put up this $12 billion weapons and aid package after President Zelensky over the weekend said that the United States is sending regularly $1.5 billion. And again, the package that we were told early in the summer would be it for a while, right? Well, we're at the end of the summer now. We're early fall.
Right.
And I guess it's time. You know, we're supposed to have forgotten that.
So now the total is over $80 billion that we've sent to Ukraine. $80 billion. And I don't know if you've seen like the crime wave sweeping across the United States. I'm from Philadelphia, and to watch the videos from Steve Keeley, one of my old reporters at Fox 29 in Philadelphia, Fox 29, yes, absolutely devastating to see the murders and what's been happening in the United States. So we can send $80 billion to Ukraine, but we have a crumbling country in the United States. Meanwhile, this afternoon, the EU...
$80 billion, that sounds too low, because it was in March that we passed a $1.5 trillion. Package. So
$1.5 trillion.
That happened back in March.
We never gave Ukraine $1.5 trillion.
It was in that package. So I must have my numbers wrong, but I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, and even if it is $80 billion, it's like that's not including the weapons. Like what, how many billions is that? So that might have been part of the package you're talking about. It probably included the money and a sum of weapons.
Okay, what I'm remembering, I'm just looking back through my notes, that it was part of the $1.5 trillion federal funding package that prevented the shutdown. It was not all for Ukraine. I apologize.
Yeah, no. I mean, so $80 billion is the total this afternoon, according to Zero Hedge. So that's, again, you add 12 billion into that. It was around 67 billion. Now you add this 12 billion and it's upwards of 80 billion right now. I mean, what's a few billion among friends, but still ridiculous amount of money. Just think about the amount of money that we're sending to this country.
Well, and can I ask really quick, mm-hmm. does that include the monthly stipend that they're getting too? Of what is it? 1.2 billion a month or something like that?
1.5 is what, well, Zelensky admitted to it yesterday, 2 days ago, that it's 1.5 billion per month now that the U.S. is like on an auto deposit.
Right. But one of your reports over the summer pointed out all of that is in addition to the contractor deals that the United States puts up on the Pentagon website every single day, which is not included in this aid, right? Because the United States is hiring contractors for sort of bits and bobs, bric-a-brac. Right. Right.
If you go to the Department of Pentagon website, Department of Defense website, every day you can see the amount of money that we are doling out to Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, etc.
And so that is not included in what you said, the 80 billion.
Yeah. So 80 billion. Anyway, today we also saw massive new sanctions coming down from the EU. So the European Commission announced this afternoon, today we are proposing new package of biting sanctions against Russia. Here it is, their tweet. Biting. Biting who, by the way? Because we know that they haven't been working against Russia to stop what their goal was, which was for Russia to remove forces from Ukraine. So biting who? I'll tell you who, because I don't know if you saw it this morning. There's protests in Prague, on the streets of Prague. There's protests in Germany. There's protests all over Europe, because that's who it's biting.
Well, they have to come up with some other scary adjective, because the first ones that they used was crippling.
Crippling.
And that hasn't done the job. So now they have to bite.
Okay. Well, they certainly bite. They certainly bite. The EU just announced new sanctions, the new package of sanctions against Russia in connection with the referendums. So these are tied to, what I love is these sanctions are tied to these people, the four regions of the Donbas, saying that they want to join Russia. These people voted for freedom and the EU sanctions them. This is amazing.
Right.
This is amazing. So they are literally €7 billion in sanctions. They will ban the import of Russian products worth €7 billion. Okay. So really going to bite them. Go after these people who just voted to join Russia. Good sanctions. Smart on you, European Union, as you're in the middle of a collapse. Also this afternoon, we saw then the U.S. Embassy in Moscow issuing this alert, telling American citizens to get out right now, leave immediately, as we appear to be on the edge of World War III. So there are a few things going on that I just wanted to touch on at the top. Now I want to get into the power plant. I'm sorry, the pipeline.
Well, I'm just going to add to that. In addition, the United States is really trying to lean on the European Union to not only institute these sanctions, but funnel more aid into Ukraine. So it's as if they have blinders on. They don't see that the euro has plummeted. They don't see that these economies are hurting, that most states in the European Union are now having to institute stimulus package, which didn't bigger than they did during the pandemic.
Because this is a man-made crisis. Again, Ralph Schulhammer, who we're going to have on the show in just a few minutes, talking about this. Like he has been one of the voices on this, saying like this is all man-made. Like they created this mess. So Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset agenda just got perhaps its biggest boost ever, thanks to the economic terrorism that was carried out by the globalists yesterday. Allies of the United States government, are now saying that the United States is responsible for carrying out the largest eco-terrorism attack in history, destroying the Nord Stream pipelines in the Baltic Sea. Now, we've learned a lot more since we were on the air last night as this was unfolding. We hope that we provided value for you last night with the information we have, but we have a lot more today. When we broke the story last night on our show about exactly what happened, we now know, according to the Swedish government, some seismic activity on this. The Swedish seismologists detected one explosion that registered 1.9 on the Richter scale. Here are the actual printouts from this. And the other that registered 2.3 on the Richter scale. The seismologists also said they saw zero evidence of earthquakes. So these explosions had nothing to do with earthquakes. What's more, do you know many earthquakes that have an explosion associated with them? No.
No.
You've lived in California. You grew up in California. So there's not like explosions associated with, there's rumbling.
That's not usually what, no. Yeah. Explosions come after the earthquakes.
Right. When things blow up as a result of a collapse. I find this very interesting about the pipelines though. So take a look at this evidence. These explosions took place quite some distance apart from each other. So as you can see here on this map, according to German authorities, these were targeted and they were far apart from each other. Notice the distance here. That is not close. These do not occur naturally. These were human explosives with one purpose. Purpose was to cut off supplies to Europe and destroy the European economy. And they're succeeding. The EU today says there is zero chance. So the European Commission is saying there's zero chance that this was an accident. It was intentional sabotage. Make no mistake about it. Western media, of course, this is amazing to me. Western media, of course, immediately tried to blame it on Vladimir Putin. And they used a photo from 2015 in multiple news articles. Okay, so, well, in a couple of different ones.
I honestly thought that this looked like they were trying to make fun of it. Like, it looks like a Despicable Me.
It looks like an Onion
type
article, like, or like a Bumble, what is it,
satire.
Babylon Bee?
So, yeah. So this image that we're going to show you is something that I got out of the, because I subscribed to a newsletter from The Telegraph, and I was like, that's got to be a joke. They're not really saying that. And this is a totally serious newsletter that Putin
that.
Could
ridiculous.
Have done it, right? And here's him going on some naval expedition that he invited the press to in 2015. And it's as if we are supposed to think that he's like, here I go.
Keep it up there for a second. This is amazing.
When you showed that, I thought that was a joke, like a Photoshop job.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, no, they're not trying to even suggest this, right? But they are.
It looks like Life Aquatic.
I mean, at least he's got almost a full roll.
Doesn't it look like Life Aquatic, like Steve Zissou?
Like
Bill Murray? Like, I mean, this is what it looks like, right?
It looks like he at least has a full roll of paper towel right behind him there.
So Nord Stream sabotage mapped how
that's
Putin
one
could
of those,
have carried out the attack, it says.
Foam shooters, it looks like, that our kids have.
So let me read the headline. Yeah. Nord Stream sabotage mapped how Putin could have carried out the attack. And they use a photo from 2015 in a submersible in the Black Sea. Like he's going down to, like, he did these things a couple of times. Right, he would go out in the Black Sea and the Baltic Sea separately. So that was The Telegraph using that photo. And then, not to be outdone, the awful news outlet Reuters, which if you ever read anything by Reuters, you should immediately run the other way and take a shower. They also used a similar picture, but this one from 2013. This time, Putin was in was actually in the Baltic Sea in a separate submersible. And so they're making the point, and in this article, and they even say Russian submarines are very well practiced at this sort of thing. How he's basically, they're good at this. You know who else is good at this? The United States. They're quite excellent at it, by the way. Putin blew up his own pipeline, is what they want to believe. He spent $11 billion building a pipeline, years to build. By the way, if you have an IQ higher than 40 points, you'd realize this is ridiculous. That is propaganda.
Again,
even
Forrest Gump had the spigot. So if they wanted it to not be operational for some kind of punitive reason, they could just keep it off. And it has been off.
Right. And using it as leverage, which we'll get to in a second. Like, seriously, if you have an IQ higher than 40 points, you'd realize this is absolutely ridiculous. Even Forrest Gump would see through this argument. You would have to be brain dead to believe that Putin had anything to do with this. And last night after our broadcast, Tucker Carlson brought up a really excellent point on his show about leverage that I hadn't thought about at the time. Listen to his take on this.
So the question is who did it? And of course, the prime suspect is obvious. It would be the same man who caused domestic inflation here in the U.S., and stole the 2016 election from Hillary Clinton. That'd be Vladimir V. Putin. And that makes sense until you thought about it for just a moment. Vladimir Putin may be evil. They tell us that he is evil. But is he stupid? Probably isn't stupid. And yet, and here's the strange part, if you are Vladimir Putin, you would have to be a suicidal moron to blow up your own energy pipelines. That's the one thing you would never do. Natural gas pipelines are the main source of your power and your wealth, and most critically, your leverage over other countries. Europe needs your energy, now more than ever, with winter approaching. If you can't deliver that energy, then countries like Germany have no need to pay attention to what you want. You're in the middle of a war, an all-hands-on-deck war, so you need all the leverage you can get. Under these circumstances, there is no chance you would blow up Nord Stream 1 or 2. Not now, obviously.
Great point, right? It's the leverage. It's a point I hadn't thought about after last night's broadcast at the time, but think about it, right? You take this away, you take away his leverage, his ability, as you said, to turn off and on the spigot.
Right.
To say, well, it's down for maintenance right now. We need these parts from Siemens in Germany, and then we can get it back up and running, and then we'll let you have some gas. You want to pull back on your sanctions against us? And maybe we'll put some of this gas back in your homes.
I just have to wonder if the United States and the Western media thinks, well, we've been successful at blaming most things on Putin up to now, so we can just keep going.
Yeah.
Most people accept that he's doing all the bad stuff.
I think they think people are really stupid. I really do. I mean, because yesterday, literally on the same day when this explosion happens, or the day before, they announced the new Baltic line, the new Baltic pipe, which literally comes from Poland through Denmark into Germany and comes through that entire way. So they launched a brand new Western back. It was EU leaders got together and they did a little pomp and circumstance,
and
on the very same day they launched the new pipeline.
It starts in Poland, is what you're saying?
I think the beginning of it, the Baltic pipe, is in Poland. Maybe you could look this up.
So it is not a Russian.
No. Okay. This is a Western-backed pipeline. Again, this is not a Russian pipeline. They announced it opening on the very same day that this explodes. I mean, you really have to take us for morons to believe that these aren't connected in any way. Meanwhile, according to German newspapers, the CIA had warned Germany that Ukraine was going to attack the pipeline. This is a bombshell story. I mean, this might be the biggest story of all. The CIA warned Germany about a planned attack on the different pipelines over the summer, according to Der Spiegel. There were already indications. The CIA was telling them that Ukraine was going to attack the pipelines. Really? What a bunch of garbage. You think that, first of all, Ukraine has nuclear-powered submarines and could pull something off like this? No. The answer is no, without any help from NATO guiding them to do it or using them as a proxy in order to do it. You would be a fool to believe otherwise.
And the rhetoric was, you know, this pipeline we don't want you to have, it may not be there, just so you know, in short order.
Right.
So it was very like, hey, let me make you an offer you can't refuse, kind of, you know, from what I read about, and I admit I did translate it. I don't read German.
Well, meanwhile, President Putin has a message for the world saying the United States should be suspect number one in this. Number one, they should be investigated. And I'm sure that we will get a thorough investigation from NATO investigators, right? Maybe sending those, maybe why don't we send those bumbling fools from the International Atomic Energy Agency, the same fools that went to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant and said, you know, we couldn't figure out why all this bombing has happened.
We didn't know who was doing it. We just think that it's dangerous and it should stop, which was what we all sent them for, because we already agreed it was dangerous and should stop.
We saw some bombs on the roof that said USA on the side of them, and we couldn't put it together. We don't know. We just can't figure this shit out. You know, it's above our pay grade, so we can't figure this out. So we could send those people.
Some of you even said Russia go home, had all kinds of like pretty messages painted on them.
We can't figure it out. We really can't. White House Press Secretary Jean-Pierre dodged questions today when asked about U.S. involvement in this attack, and instead wanted to remind us why fossil fuels are bad. Listen.
As you all know, these pipelines weren't pumping gas into Europe at this time. NS2 was never operational, as you guys know. NS1 has not been operational for weeks because Putin has weaponized energy, and we have said this many times before. This just drives home the importance of our efforts to work together to get alternative gas supplies to Europe and to support efforts to reduce gas consumption and accelerate true energy independence by moving to clean energy economy.
Yeah, let me read off my notes here. When someone asks you about Nord Stream 2 being blown up by the United States, we want you to just remind the audience there that they should buy an electric car and get solar panels on their roof.
I mean, can we use that line of logic for any tragedy then? Like, people died in a hurricane. Yeah, but those people didn't have nice homes anyway, so it's okay. Like, this just, yeah. You know, yeah. This is the new way that, you know, oh, some of those people were old anyway, so that's all right. And the United States is, the world is overpopulated, so that's okay too.
Oh, they were in a car accident? Oh, were they driving a gas guzzler? Oh, if
then
they
were going to send suit, right? So this is obviously a flawed and insensitive line of logic.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says that there was clearly sabotage, and he's right about that. These pipes are designed, if you look at the physics of these pipes, as I did today, they are designed to withstand just about anything that you can throw at them. Literally, the steel pipe itself has a wall of 4 centimeters, 1.6 inches. It's coated with steel-reinforced concrete, up to 11 centimeters thick. Each section of the pipe weighs 11 tons. Which goes to 24 to 25 tons after the concrete then is applied to it. Then, these are designed to withstand a massive ship anchor, which they have to deal with on a regular basis, and so they test them against this. You know those massive ship anchors? Have you ever seen like an aircraft carrier? Have you ever seen a cruise liner with those giant anchors? Right? Yeah. It's designed so that if one of those falls off the ship, it bounces off of the pipeline. So, again, yes, clearly sabotage. So here's the question, though. How were they blown up? This is really the ultimate question. So I spoke to military and intelligence sources today that said that the United States would have carried out this terrorist attack in one of two different ways. A, by using Navy SEALs who would have descended and then placed explosives on the pipes and then detonated those explosives remotely. That seems less likely, given the advanced technology they are now using. But it's far more likely, they said, that the Americans used underwater drones launched by U.S. submarines in the Baltic Sea. That's probably how it happened. So an investigation would clearly show drone fragments among other pieces of evidence. We also know that U.S. warships that have these capabilities were just seen in the area days ago. Just days ago. And by the way, the largest of those ships would have been able to carry this attack out easily, coordinating with submarines. And I'm sure the cushy relationship with NATO that they have with these investigations, they could probably ask Americans, you know, what submarines were in the area, right? NATO could easily figure this out if they had an investigation. What submarines were in the area at the time? Who was on board? What were they doing there? You just happened to be swimming by, like right by the pipeline at the time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are logs.
Like, what were you guys doing on the night of September 26th, 2022? Where were you guys? Where were your nuclear submarines at that time? Where were your special drones, the underwater drone technology that we're using? I'm sure they'll get a straight answer out of it. Germany, though, is furious this morning. German officials are saying it was an act of sabotage. They're not pulling any punches. Before the terrorism attack, German citizens were calling on their government to turn on Nord Stream 2, literally 24 hours before this attack. Thousands were taking to the street demanding the launch of Nord Stream 2, calling on their government to turn it on. We are going to freeze. We don't have firewood. We don't have any other way to heat our home right now. Turn it on. Stop playing politics with our lives.
Now they don't have a choice. That choice has been taken away from them.
It's really, really tragic. You know, like, people at home want to just say, oh, good. I see people on Twitter like, yeah, way to stick it to the Russians. Like, do you understand anything? Like,
I mean,
the Polish prime minister or whatever that said thank you, America, or something?
Right. Yeah, we did collectively agree that the Gulf oil leak was bad, right?
Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. Should we not collectively agree that this is equally as bad? Even if you take the politics out of it, right? Sea life will die there. This will disrupt an entire ecosystem just for political gain, for whoever.
Well, and that's methane. Yeah. Methane going into the atmosphere.
Yeah. Right. So awful, awful, right? That's the thing we keep hearing about, like, what, cow farts and everything else. Like, that's killing us.
Right.
Right. Now, you literally have a massive explosion of it. And by the way, that gas line was filled. That was filled to capacity.
Probably more methane than whatever was taken away from the Dutch farmers, right?
Right. Well, and the video doesn't really do justice.
Great point, yeah.
Because I believe they said that that's a 2 mile radius, I believe, that you're seeing there where you see those bubbles. Like, it looks small on video, but that's 2 miles.
I know it's hard to see it with scale, right? Because it's in the middle of the ocean, right? But yes, it's massive, massive. So, Germany.
Was Philip going to say something? I thought I heard Philip talking. No?
No, something just went weird on me for a second. I didn't say anything, though.
Okay, sorry.
So Germany is pointing fingers right where it belongs today. This German citizens, German newspapers coming out. They're pointing the fingers right where it belongs at the United States. The United States has been telling us for months that they've been planning to do this. They plan to take it out, right? Here, they plan to take out the pipelines. They plan to attack the pipelines, get rid of them. They're gone. I mean, here's evil incarnate, Victoria Nuland. Remember, she is the one that led the coup in Ukraine under President Obama. She overthrew the government to install the puppet regime. Here she is telling us what the United States will do to this pipeline.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies, and I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
Okay. So thank you for giving us that clear indication. Also, we heard from President Biden said the exact same thing. So they've told us they plan to do this, right? And remember, Victoria Nuland, of course, was the person who told the EU to go F themselves. You remember this, of course. This comes a few years after the Obama administration was caught bugging and eavesdropping on German officials. Specifically the Chancellor Angela Merkel. But of course, remember at the time when her phone was bugged for 11 years by the United States. And then the United States had to apologize for it. Victoria Nuland had to apologize for telling the EU to go F themselves as it relates to putting a puppet regime inside of Ukraine, which could adversely affect Europe. She said, F the EU. Screw the EU. And then of course, Angela Merkel fired back and said those remarks are unacceptable. And so what you're basically saying is you intend to screw the European Union. You intend to screw Germany by what you're doing in Ukraine.
Yeah.
That was the message from Victoria Nuland.
This is mob behavior.
Yeah. And this is like desperation, rat trapped in a corner behavior. That's what this is, in my opinion. So the United States has a nice long track record of trying to screw over Germany. And it's not just Democrats, by the way, in the United States that want to destroy the Nord Stream pipelines. It was President George W. Bush. It was his cronies, Condoleezza Rice, warmongers Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, and a lot of them. Here was Condoleezza Rice, who was saying this is all part of the plan. You can see this is clearly all part of the plan. Listen to how she describes Germany's reliance on this gas and what we want to do about it.
And I also understand that one of the complications is the Europeans, who are very dependent on the Russians for energy supply and business relationships, but they also need to recognize that if Putin is not stopped now, we could find ourselves in a real conflict with Russia down the road.
Well, actually, let me jump in right there. Germany, arguably the strongest power in Europe, at least economically, there's been criticism that Angela Merkel and others haven't been aggressive enough. What do you think of that? Do you think Germany's been as aggressive as they should be?
I'm quite an admirer of Chancellor Merkel, and I heard her statement when she was with President Obama in Washington. I thought it was a very good statement. But now we need to have tougher sanctions, and I'm afraid at some point this is going to probably have to involve oil and gas. The Russian economy is vulnerable. 80% of Russian exports are in oil, gas, and minerals. People say, well, the Europeans will run out of energy. Well, the Russians will run out of cash before the Europeans run out of energy. And I understand that it's uncomfortable to have an effect on business ties in this way. But this is one of the few instruments that we have. Over the long run, you simply want to change the structure of energy dependence. You want to depend more on the North American energy platform, the tremendous bounty of oil and gas that we're finding in North America. You want to have pipelines that don't go through Ukraine and Russia. For years, we've tried to get the Europeans to be interested in different pipeline routes. It's time to do that. And so some of this is simply acting, and acting as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
I find that so disingenuous, knowing the United States history of building wealth on petrodollar recycling through under the table type deals with OPEC nations and then acting like everyone should act benevolently and in everyone's best interest when it comes to oil and gas. And we are going to be good leaders and teach other people how to do it. I just can't believe that anyone, either she's not read any history, right? And got to that point in her career and feels comfortable saying that because she's historically ignorant. Or otherwise, how does someone say those words if you have any historical notion of petrodollars? How?
She was a professor at Stanford, Natalie. She's a brilliant human being. We should all bow down to her genius. I mean, and to think that we are going to, like, what she's saying here is we need to act. We need to tell them how to live their lives, and they are too dependent on this. So what we're going to do is we're going to act. If they're not going to do it themselves, we are going to take action and make it happen. We are going to make it happen. So this plan has been on the table. Why did the CIA know about this?
Yeah,
they knew about it because they just walked down the hall and they talked to their cronies. Oh, you guys are, when are you guys planning on that attack on the pipeline? Oh, next week? Okay, we wanted to give Germany a heads up so they can make some adjustments. You know, be like a friendly thing to do. And by the way, we're going to blame it on Ukraine.
This is such a bully move. And it's really upsetting.
And you're watching this. This is the Great Reset in action, guys. This is right before our eyes. Joe Biden gets in office. What does he do to Keystone Pipeline? Shuts it down.
Yes.
Right? And not just the Keystone Pipeline, all of the tributary pipelines associated with it.
Right.
Not just the main one, but all of the other tributary pipelines associated with it. Wouldn't allow additional, drilling. On the list goes on and on and on. And then you blame it on Putin, right? And this is the strategy and tactic. And then you try to shut down Europe and their access to fossil fuels as well. It's all part of the plan. And you're not a conspiracy theorist, guys. Like, this is happening right before our eyes.
Yes, it is unbelievable. It feels like a movie. Like, it literally was Jason Bourne that got on his scuba gear and went and did this, right? It's too much, too close to fiction at this point. But it's also, it's real, and it's just, it turns my stomach to think about it. Let us know what you think about it in the chat. And make sure you hit that like and subscribe button, you guys, before we move on to the next segment. Do you need any water?
I need a little sip of coffee. I'm pissed.
We're
going to
stretch for a second, and then we'll move on.
All right. Okay. Yeah, because we're going to talk about Germany here in a second. We're going to talk about Germany on the brink of collapse and what the German people are about to do as a response to this. I mean, guys, we are headed towards World War III. And it might
it's
not
a messed
come,
up scheisse.
It might not come in the way that you think it's going to come, right? I mean, we may see infrastructure war, like we've been talking about, cyber infrastructure war. So, you know, it may be simple as, you know, trying to get access to your banks or your electricity or the internet or those types of things. We've talked about this is not going to look like it was trench warfare in World War I, right? It's going to look different. And so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to look at who's leading the United States right now, because the president of the United States has dementia. And a number of doctors, actually, one doctor came forward yesterday and said that President Biden will be a vegetable in a short amount of time. Like, he is on the verge of that state, and we should be prepared for it. So who's running the White House? It's clearly not him. Who's ordering a Nord Stream a pipeline attack? I think it was him. I don't for a second believe
that's
it was him.
That's a really dangerous thing to say. Remember when the conversation around Trump's mental health became a part of the national conversation, and we realized that you cannot diagnose somebody that you have not seen,
right?
And that can bring upon litigation. So we are not doctors. We're not giving you a diagnosis. We're trying to see if the man can make a declarative sentence, and that's what we're saying.
Good for that.
So.
Yeah, good for that. All right, well, let's talk about Germany now. So the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines fits perfectly with the World Economic Forum's plan to take Europe off of fossil fuels. This has been the plan all along. Now it's accelerated. The war helped. COVID helped it. The war helps it. And now, of course, attacking the pipelines puts the plan fully in place. But will Germany give into this plan? That's the real question. Will Germans rise up? We're seeing protests in Prague today and across Europe saying no to this. We're seeing it across the Netherlands. Will people rise up and revolt? Someone who has been covering the story extensively as an academic researcher is Ralph Schollhammer. He's been one of the few keen voices calling out the hypocrisy of the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, and this ridiculous move by these countries to put in draconian regulations against these farmers and these citizens. Ralph joined me a short time ago, and I started by asking him if the German people will even tolerate this.
People in Germany are very, very angry. The weekly newspaper Der Spiegel, a well-renowned left-leaning newspaper, did a poll where they asked the people kind of what is their general mood, their general emotional state. And 42% answered it's anger. That's higher than it was during the height of the corona pandemic, and that's about twice as much as it was 3 years ago. So the German people are angry. The German people always kind of at least had a kind of a latent sympathy, let's put it this way, for Russia. And there was always a strong subcurrent of anti-Americanism. So again, I'm just laying out here all the factors they're going to play into each other. So if it should turn out that, for example, there is neither a full refutation of US and or US and Polish involvement in what happened in the last 24 hours, or if potentially in the, let's say, worst possible case, there is an admission of any kind, I think the kind of public swing in opinion that we're going to see in Germany will be massive. So there we're no longer talking about you know, secret support, hidden supports for Ukraine. I think this will be a significant shift.
So if we already have President Biden in February saying that we will take out the Nord Stream pipeline, we have Victoria Nuland, who of course is responsible for installing a puppet regime inside of Ukraine, saying we will put an end, one way or the other, we will put an end to the Nord Stream pipeline if Russia invades. You know, to me, it's like Occam's razor at this point. So wouldn't there already be this growing sentiment, this distrust of the United States inside Germany? And again, we see the leaked RAND report a few weeks ago here on the show. We featured that, the documents that talked about a weakening of Germany, a strengthening U.S. And one way to do that, and one specific piece of that report was around Germany's dependence on Russian oil. By cutting that off, you weaken Germany, you strengthen the United States. How aware of that are the German people?
I think more than we generally recognize. You see it particularly in online forums. I was recently on a debate show in German TV, and if you look at the comments below, I mean, that sentiment, what you just described, is very widespread. And let me immediately add, I'm not saying that this sentiment is unfounded. Right. What befuddles me from side of the United States, and I think this is a very, very geopolitically unwise move by the United States. On the long run, the US, whatever we think about their role as the global hegemon, they cannot go it alone. The United States will not be strong enough kind of to balance the Pacific and the Atlantic. So they need a reliable partner. And I would argue that the best reliable partner they could have would be Europe. So I think there should be an interest in a strong Europe. But apparently within many kind of security circles within the United States, they don't see it like this. Now, regarding Germany, there's always the problem. It's a mixture of distrust towards the Americans, but it is also to some extent their own stupidity. I mean, we talked about this the last time we were on, like whatever the designs of the US are, and I'm not denying that they exist, but particularly in the realm of energy, I mean, Germany inflicted a lot of pain on itself as well, right? We talked about this, whether it's turning off nuclear, whether it's putting all the energy, both politically and literally, into renewables, creating this dependency on Russia, banning fracking, kind of banning alternative sources of energy that Germany would have full control of. I mean, this was self-inflicted. So Angela Merkel was not forced to take those steps. I guess it's a mixture of external pressure and also a mixture of internal stupidity.
So then where does Germany go from here? Are we looking at, we just saw what happened in Italy, right? We saw a country elect overwhelmingly a new leader who wants to put Italians first, wants to put family first, wants to put Italian infrastructure first. And that seems, it's crazy to think that that is now considered rebellious in some way, like standing up for your own country in that way. And you're obviously seeing the protests. You've been debating this on this topic in Germany. You're seeing people taken to the streets. The Western media won't cover these protests. They're largely ignoring the protests in Berlin and other parts of Germany. So where do you think Germany moves over the next
No, I think
years.
You're absolutely right. What we currently see in Germany, but I would extend it to all of Europe, this is, if you want to speak in Wagnerian terms, this is Götterdämmerung for the old continent. So the decisions they're going to make, let's say, in the next 6 to 8 weeks will be decisive for the decades to come. And what this means is, and I think you already kind of moved the conversation to this direction, which I would wholeheartedly agree, Europe needs to learn to stand on its own feet. But standing on its own feet means independently, not just of the US, right? It also will mean standing independently of Russia. It will also mean standing independently of China. And this means that many of the ideological preconceived notions Europe has indulged in the last couple of years, and we talked about this extensively, so I can only advise the listeners to listen to our previous conversation, they need to stop to indulge in these ideological ideas of, you know, energy transitions, and we're going to power Europe with wind and solar and all these, right, kind of social luxury beliefs that are completely disconnected from what matters for people's daily lives. And you're right, we see it in Italy. I think we're also going to see it in the UK. As you have also talked on the show before, the UK economy is on the brink. They are in much worse conditions than we would have expected. Same is true, as we just mentioned, about Germany. Winter is not here yet. So I think the actual energy shortages, they will only start to bite in the next couple of weeks. And then there is another topic that as many have not, but gratefully you have covered, that is the coming fertilizer shortage. So we're going to looking at actual food shortages or shortages in agricultural products in Europe next year. And one could say, well, is it really going to be that bad? Well, that depends on the population. Let's look at it. Let's look at Argentina. Right? I mean, countries like Argentina, kind of that are somewhat used to defaulting on regular, and this is not indicting the Argentinian people, whom I very much like, but they're kind of used to economic hardships. They're kind of used to that they cannot trust their currency, that you have to prepare yourself for bad times. This is not something Europeans or Americans, for that matter, are really prepared for. It always reminds me, gets kind of my last sentence on this. There is, I think it's Rocky V, there's this famous conversation that Sylvester Stallone has with his son. And he says, you know, it doesn't matter in the boxing match how hard you can hit. What matters is how much you can take. And I think this is very true in the current situation as well. The question is not who's going to suffer more in the current economic development. The question is who can take it. And I'm very worried that Europeans simply can't take it because we have, I mean, decadent is a strong word, but we have gotten complacent. We have gotten comfortable. And we have allowed ourselves to become the kind of the billiard balls that have been pushed around by other powers in the world. So this was not just imposed on us, giving, for example, the dependency on the United States. Nobody forced the Europeans, even if the United States preferred it, to be dependent in their security on the US. The Europeans could have built their own autonomous security structures, but we didn't want to because the temptation was too great to use the money for other things and kind of allow the United States to foot the bill. So there's blame on both sides, I would say.
I'll get you out of here on this, Ralph, which is how bad do you think it's going to get? I mean, we can talk numbers. You talked about the fertilizer shortages. We don't yet know because we're not in winter yet. Are you seeing data pointing to a real hard time for not only Germans, but throughout Europe?
Yes. And I think that the kind of the two most important data points for this is if you look at how European governments are reacting, their solution to an actual supply shortage of energy, which if we kind of take natural gas and the broader issue of energy, their solution is to pump money into the system. But the problem is you cannot, the Americans can because everything is paid in dollars, but the Europeans cannot print energy. So for example, if there is no gas, it doesn't matter if you give a household, an individual or a company an extra, and I'm exaggerating for dramatic effect, an extra $1 billion, because there is no energy, there is no gas they can buy. But European governments will try to paper it over with just pumping more money into the system. So you are on a course, not just to massive inflation, I would argue, and I hope I'm wrong. That's always my thing, right? I'm a doom monger who hopes to be wrong. But this is much more on the course to hyperinflation than anything else. So, and what that means is the government then cannot, because we have historical evidence for this in every single country where it happened, the government then not distribute the impact of this. So the impact is going to be absolutely devastating for the working class, the middle class, and everybody who's on a, let's say, fixed cash income, because they will no longer be able to buy food as they were used. So do I see there is somebody who I value very much, Michael Yon, right, who's predicting there might be actual real famines in Europe? I'm a little bit more optimistic. I think that famines can be avoided, like people literally starving to death. But is rationing in the cards? Yeah, energy is de facto already being rationed. Is food rationing possible, kind of World War II scenario? Yeah, absolutely. I think this is very likely. And the problem then is, are people willing to take it? Because we and I have talked, and that's why I like your question so much. We have not talked about the economic repercussions. But what we do not know is what will be the political repercussions. There is this weird idea, both in Europe and the US, you can go through this crisis and kind of come out of it without a scratch. That is a very odd thing to think, because we don't know. And now let us connect this to Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2. So the idea was, which was already a very low bar, to get through the winter, right? So people won't freeze in the winter. That's a very, very low bar for supposedly one of the most developed areas in the world. But the idea, I think, subconsciously was, and then next year, the war is going to slow down, right? Relations somehow with Russia are going to be picked up again. And by February, March, April, gas will start to flow again. Well, that option is now off the table. So that Gordian knot has been cut by whoever did it, right? So that option is over. So I do not see the end point for this crisis. And then, as you correctly mentioned, then is a sowing time and we don't have fertilizer. So this is going to spiral. We still have massive migration problems that, again, with the exception of few media outlets like yours, nobody's talking about. So this is more and more becoming a perfect storm where there is no end in sight. And this worries me the most is politicians will tell their people, oh, don't worry, this is going to be over in a few weeks. And remember, and we talked about this as well, it's like COVID, right? You know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then those 2 weeks turned into 2 years. I'm not sure if the people are willing to do another quote unquote flatten the curve. And the tone deafness of European politicians, just to use this example, Ursula von der Leyen literally used the expression flatten the curve in regards to energy use, that we need to flatten the curve at peak usage. They don't even, and of course, most people immediately said, oh, wait a moment, we've heard that story 3 years or 2 years ago. And that's what worries me the most. So at the moment, to answer your question in a more short version, I think it looks very, very gloomy at the moment. One, because are the fundamentals on the ground, both in regards to energy and production. And the second one is we have an incredible incompetent class of politicians, I would again say on both sides of the Atlantic. It's differences in degree, but not really in the major fact that they are not very good at what they're doing. And the bill is coming, and I think it's going to be much higher than many of us would have hoped for, would have expected.
Yeah, it's scary, and that's why, you know, we need to study our history, right? That's a very important piece of this. And then, of course, look at our present as well. Look what happens when you cut off energy to Africa. This is what happens. You have a migrant crisis. You have people who don't have food. You have famines, right? We're already witnessing it. We're witnessing it in Afghanistan. So we don't have to go very far to see what humans can do. And this is a man-made crisis. I think you and I probably agree with that 100%, that this is man-made.
Now, look at it. I mean, you might, because this is also something you alluded at the beginning, and I kind of want to support your point here. We have allowed ourselves to be trapped by idiotic, and I'm not somebody who curses a lot, but I make an exception here, by idiotic ideas that were pushed by, you know, for lack of a better expression, very rich people who probably have just a guilt complex because they are very rich, because that's what, for me, the WEF basically is in a sense, right? It's a therapeutic institutions where people try to atone for whatever they think the crimes are of them or their cultures by sacrificing all our futures. To give you one quick example for this, because you mentioned Africa, the EU and the United States de facto and deliberately prevent Africa from developing its own energy resources in the name of climate protection. And then when the Africans who cannot develop their own energy are literally starving for energy, and then as a consequence, starving for real as well, then we say, well, that's due to climate change. No, it's not due to climate change. It's due to policies that we claim are in the name of climate change. And this is what we do. We hide now, and climate is just one topic here, right? We hide everything. So there are actual lives to be saved, but we don't do it because we quote unquote save the planet. It's maddening. And we need common sense people, whether it's you, me, kind of to increasingly stand up against this. We are not calling, at least I would say, I think neither you are. This is not calling for a revolution. It's calling for what you also initially said. It's calling for the lowest possible thing. We call for simple common sense, right? Yes, we make simple argument. Yeah, right. We make the very simple argument that wealth is connected to available energy, that wealth, particularly wealth for a large number of people. We make the very simple argument that people should have the right that if they switch their light switch at home, that the light turns on. So our bar is very, very low. And still there are these pressures that kind of want to turn this, not just take this away, but want to make this increasingly difficult. And I think it's time to stand up against this and say, listen, if you make $1 million a year and you want to buy an uber expensive electric vehicle, good for you, go for it. But I think the average person should still have the right to buy their gas fueled, pickup truck or whatever it is they need to use. I think it's just it's a common sense thing.
Yeah, and to own their own farms. Our guest is Ralph Schulhammer. He's one of the few voices on this, calling out this hypocrisy, and we really appreciate your viewpoints on this. Ralph, thank you so much for joining us, as always, here on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Ralph. I really wish I was as smart as that. Very, very smart guy. Very, very smart guy. And you can see just putting all of these pieces together as an academic researcher and tying these things together. And it's why I think it's so important when he talks about studying history.
Yes.
We are repeating ourselves.
Right.
This is why you study history, because we are repeating ourselves and causing this catastrophe.
Yeah. I mean, we can, I just feel like everything that happens every week, I'm like, I don't think we're being told the truth about that. Let me go find a book about it. And that becomes more and more necessary day by day. I can't find the time to read enough context to figure out why the heck people are accepting certain things in this world that seems asinine.
Yeah, I'm reading right now Fossil Future by Alex Epstein. And it is one of those books that you're going to throw it against the wall. You're like, no, we've been lied to for so many years about this stuff.
Yeah.
So I've been talking to Alex. Alex is going to be a guest here on the show. But again, these are the things you need to learn, and we need to study these things. And that's why I'm so thankful to have you all as part of our redacted community here. We're standing up. We are rebels standing up against this hegemony. So thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel and smashing that like button. And when you subscribe, your name pops right up here. Anthony Klingman. Welcome, 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 Anthony. All right.
Indeed.
I remember in my early 20s, I remember reading Howard Zinn, the People's History. And that was sort of my first introduction into the idea that history is it's not what we think it is. They don't tell us what actually happened.
That's right. I only learned about that book from Good Will Hunting, and then I bought the book. I'm like, and I was like, wait a minute, really? We've been lied to like this? All right. We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about Biden's dementia here in a second. But first, I want to tell you how you can get up to 15 free stocks right now from our friends over at Moomoo just by signing up and opening an account. $32,000, right? Valued up to $32,000 just for opening your account and making that initial deposit. What they do is they give you, each stock is valued up to $2,000. So you're getting a whole boatload of stocks just for opening your account right now through the end of September. So you have a few more days to take advantage of that. Moomoo is a NASDAQ company with a market value of $6 billion and a global user base of 18 million people. You can trade stocks, crypto, build up your financial intelligence, all with their amazing learning platform. The account is free to open, and then you qualify for all these additional bonuses when you make your first deposit in your Moomoo account. Remember, you're not spending any money. You're simply putting a deposit down, and then you get access to all of those additional stocks and bonuses. So even if you never do anything with the account, you get access to those 15 free stocks valued up to $32,000. I use Moomoo every day for alerts and news, and also to trade different commodity stocks that I end up buying and monitor the trades. So again, check them out. Right now, Moomoo also just opened in the Australian market as well. You'll get 180 days of brokerage-free trading, plus you get up to $50 in bonuses in Australia when you make your initial deposits there as well. So the Australian stocks and U.S. stocks. By going to redacted.inc/Moomoo is how you will get access to these stocks. redacted.inc/Moomoo is how you do it. So that's how we do it. So I just want to thank everyone because we have difficult conversations on this show. We, you know, we cover stories that maybe make you uncomfortable. That's the point, right? You've got to be uncomfortable. That's how you grow and you learn. And so thank you all for having an open mind. And we don't allow closed-minded people here. So if you're, you know, open-minded people, that's who we want here on this show. And let the facts flow where they come. So let's talk about this. Last night, President Biden held this White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health. It's a nice opportunity to show unity between Democrats and Republicans coming together because, you know, who's not in favor of stopping hunger or helping communities get access to food? One of the co-chairs of the House Hunger Caucus was Representative Jackie Walorski from Indiana. Now, she's a Republican, Jackie Walorski. She's a big part of this committee, or she was. And last night, President Biden called her out, was looking for her, because I think he wanted to thank her and welcome her up onto the stage for all of her hard work. Here was that moment.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this a reality.
Yeah. So she wasn't there. There's just one problem with why she wasn't there. It's because of this.
Stunning and tragic breaking news out of Elkhart County today involving the death of U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Walorski and two of her staffers who were killed in a crash earlier this afternoon in Elkhart County.
Yeah. So the reason she wasn't at last night's event is because she was killed in a car accident back in August. So when he's looking around the room, wondering where Jackie Walorski is, part of the Hunger Caucus up until August, she wasn't there. She wasn't in the room.
Well, that's a good reason not to go.
So, I mean, look, it's troubling on so many levels. And then the White House was asked about this. I mean, clearly a guy who is not there, clearly a guy who is... my question is, who is running the White House at this point? You literally don't know that a congresswoman who was a part of the House is dead, is not in the room. There's a reason why she's not there. So the White House was trying to defend this today and kind of coming up with some bizarre excuse once again. Listen.
Final one. Sure. What happened in the hunger event today? The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room. What happened there?
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public service with them when he sees her family this coming Friday.
He said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind. This wasn't what we were able to witness today and what the president was able to lift up in this at this conference, at this event, was how her focus on wanting to.
Yeah, that's a spin. Dawn in our chat says, what a spin. And you got to admire that, right? Because the real answer should have been. The guy gets confused.
Yeah, I can't.
That is the truth. If you're speaking truth, right? Like the four agreements is be impeccable with your word. Then the real answer is the guy gets confused a lot.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be refreshing if she got up there and she said, you know, I got to be honest with you guys. We don't know what he's saying half the time. Like he's just a puppet right now because we wake him up, we wheel him into the conference room, we give him a croissant first thing in the morning and some coffee, and we go and do our things.
And I don't think it's sensitive to make excuses for someone and then continue to let them go through this. For instance, we had a family member who was going to go in for a procedure like on a Wednesday, and he was saying, "I'm going in." on March, this was on Sunday, he goes, you know, he was thinking 3 days, like February, January, February, March, but he meant days of the week, right? And so you help them. You're like, oh yes, Wednesday, right? Let you go this to just let someone continue speaking and hope that they don't embarrass themselves and struggle this way is not sensitive to elderly people or people who are struggling mentally or have cognitive decline. This is not a way to address this issue in a sensitive way. And instead, we just kind of hang them out to dry and then make excuses for it.
Yeah. I mean, and so you keep pretending like everything's fine. It's not, we can see it. All you need to do is watch video from a few years ago and compare it to now. That's all you need to do.
And thankfully, they plan to run. And she talks about they're planning to run him again in 2024. And she's like, oh, you should see him. He runs around the White House. He outpaces all of us. Like it's like no big deal. He's going to just keep on going.
That's not funny. It's not. It's just.
It's sad.
It's insulting to everybody.
Well, and, you know, on 60 Minutes, he was asked that question. Are you going to run? And he didn't answer. He said, well, I'm, you know. Oh, he said a lot of things will go into action if I answer that, if I say it. So clearly she's already said he's running. Mm-hmm. Right. Elizabeth Warren has said he's running. I've spoken to him. I support him. He says he's running. He's my man. The White House has already admitted that he's running. Now the president was asked if he's running on 60 Minutes and he couldn't answer the question.
Well, when Scott Pelley asked him, like, look, you're going to be the oldest person to run for re-election. And he's like, pretty good, huh? Look at me. I look pretty good. And again, if we're being impeccable with our word, Scott Pelley should have been like, no, sir, you're saying things that the White House has to walk back. You're looking a bit frail. Maybe it's time to rest.
Yeah. So this reporter kept pushing Jean-Pierre on this question, and she really wasn't answering the question. So I'll play that part. So she keeps really pushing Jean-Pierre, and she just continues to dodge. Watch this.
Okay, go ahead.
These moments of confusion are happening with frequency. Excuse me, Americans watching this that are happening. What do you say to that? This is a legitimate question. We need to have some answers.
At the end of the year. I just won't answer it. It's a legitimate question. It is a legitimate question. The leader of the free world?
Yeah.
I mean,
in wartime?
In 9 wars that the United States is in.
Who talked about blowing up the pipeline and then it happened? Like,
right. Yeah. Saying that we're going to blow up the pipeline. And then how does that happen? Is he the one in charge? Is he the one? He's the one. We're heading towards a nuclear war with Russia. And he's the one in charge of these codes. Now, I don't think that he is. This is my point. I think that there's clearly a deep state that's taken over and is running the show. And it has. We know that it has for many, many years. But it is arguably right now in full force. And that's why they love the guy so much. Because they can do anything that they want right now. It's like having a substitute teacher in school. You can do anything. And we saw that with General Mark Milley, right? We saw that during the end of Trump's era. When he admitted, basically, that there were things in place that if Trump tried to do things, we would basically step in, basically admitting that no, the deep state has it. Like you're going to try to go and do certain things. We've got it. So clearly they are not running the White House. Biden is not running the White House. I mean, you saw this video the other day. This is just from a few days ago. He was doing this global funds speech and then he doesn't know where he's going and he gets lost on stage and they have to like guide him off. Watch this.
Mr. President, thank you. At the end of such a momentous event, the word thank you seems kind of inadequate. But for all the millions whose lives will be saved, for the communities where life will be transformed, thank you. So thank you, President Biden, for your outstanding...
Where do I go? Where do I go? What do I do? Really sad.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll just remind you that when this conversation was also taking place around President Trump's health, he just he loves litigation. And so he would threaten anyone who would say something, you know, like, oh, don't say these kind of things. And it's, and we know from past cases that it's dangerous because you should not. I think it was the New York Times that had published something about Trump that from a doctor that had not diagnosed them, and they did get some kind of lawsuit out of it. So, you know, we're not doctors. We're just kind of concerned, more than kind of.
Right.
We're just concerned.
Well, you know what's crazy to me? It's like you look at the news cycle, and it's like you have all this going on, and you barely hear anything about it, but Trump slips down a tarmac, like walking really slow, and it's on the news for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
It's like the top story.
Yeah, right. It feels like that.
Well, President Trump issued a statement today on the Nord Stream pipeline and also took a slap at Joe Biden. And he said, everyone is talking about the hurricane barreling into Florida, as they should be. But perhaps a far more important event in the longer term was the announcement of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and one pipeline out of Russia, which I brought to the world's attention when I was president, explaining how crippling reliance on it could be for Germany and other parts of Europe. Everybody laughed at the time, but they're not laughing anymore. Has been sabotaged. This could lead to major escalation of war. He went on in a separate message that he released saying that, hey, I'm ready to step in because, and he called it the leadership in the White House, in quotes, the leadership in the White House, meaning like this guy's not there. Like this guy's not actually running the White House. He said, I'm ready to step in and negotiate a peace agreement with Ukraine and Russia. I'll step in and do it.
And, his punctuation is surprisingly not terrible. Like it normally he uses commas in strange places, and I looked at this and I was like, huh, all right, maybe he's, I don't know, nothing I can say about this one. Normally there's strange, like, you know, independent clauses and things like that, so I don't know. But if, you know, he's saying it has been sabotaged, he had been warning about it, he mentions Germany, he must know something.
Well, and he also separately today talked about it. Raw Story had an article with links to him basically saying that he said that the United States has means to do this and likely did it. So, yeah. Again, President Trump saying that this is as well. So, Just Beautiful in the chat says Trump didn't type that himself. I don't know. He used to all his tweet himself.
Grimm said he signed up for Grammarly or something, possibly.
Grammarly. That is possible. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to all of our rebels out there, thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. We do have a daily newsletter I want to encourage you all to read. It's totally free. If you go to redacted.inc, it's the place to go to sign up. Redacted.inc is how you sign up for our daily newsletter. And we have some super chats that we want to get to tonight. So let's dive into it on super chat time here.
All right, here we go. Wow, we got a lot.
Just power through them.
Okay, Frosty Young. War is coming. It's almost inevitable at this point. Thank you for giving unbiased news. If you guys are the best news programming, I am down to date.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Frosty Young, 18-wheeler rolling, cruising across Texas, hoping to get home, back to Wyoming. And then a super sticker.
Thank you.
Back to Wyoming. Beautiful.
FL2396, as much as I hate him as president, it's amazing to hear how much more competent Biden was in 1998. He had so much more confidence back then, not the guy I see today.
Yeah. Or even think about the debates he had with Sarah Palin. Not possible now.
Yeah.
No.
Anna Ruiz with a super sticker. Thank you. Marco Bergarski, keep up the good work. Hi from Serbia.
Hello from Serbia.
Hi, guys.
I'm not
Will
Serbia.
Aiden. Will Aiden, Russia violated Minsk II first by continuing to fund and arm rebels. We wouldn't accept Mexico supporting pro-Mexican rebels in South Texas for a second.
Yeah.
Frosty Young, go rebels. Great news. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Sneaky Fox Jr., if somebody is reordering the world, cancel that order. I didn't care too much for the first order.
So, yeah, that's good.
Bree, sir,
I asked for my Bree. Thank you.
Bree C13 with a super sticker. Misty Schaffner, good news. Only 768 days till next presidential election day. My youngest, 12, wanted to know when we can get a new break. So let's make the longest countdown calendar ever. 768 reasons. Can we get a countdown clock in the background?
I feel like that clock, it would also be like one more day that we all didn't die from nuclear fallout. That's my new clock.
Yeah.
Hans Storibo, the Danish Navy listen in on all traffic through the strait into the Baltic Sea. They are very silent. Asir Metalworks, the D. It's super rare I get to watch a live show, and this is my third this week. Great content, and the occasional bicker is the icing on the cake. Gives that we're all friends here feel to your broadcast.
We are.
Thank you. Oh, I like this. Miguel Carvalho says Sky News has live 6,000 people watching them live. We had 30,000 watching us live.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? So Sky News, a cable channel owned by, what, Rupert Murdoch?
Yeah, I believe they are.
Redacted beat Sky News live. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hemi Life 05, wouldn't that make Germany want to fight the U.S.?
That's the question we are asking.
Like, what sort of response will Germany have against the United States at this point?
Robert Knight, Baltic Pipe starts in Norway, called it on leverage for Nord Stream yesterday during the show.
Baltic Pipe.
Andrew Scott, anyone taking American refugees? Otherwise, let's raid the CIA and take back this country. We can unlock the secrets they kept from us, from all the UFOs to energy sources to Antarctica. Our government is out of control.
All right. I'm not sure we are planning that. I don't want to, you know, get in trouble for that. But, yeah, I mean, we saw how that went for some people, but I like the spirit of it.
Decomaniac, Natalie is as pretty as the demons are evil and stupid. Don't let it go to your head, Natalie. We like you the way you are.
Okay. Thank you.
Jamila Asfu, very sad United States leaders has take lessons and always he messing with around the world.
Mm-hmm. Steve Primore says, greetings from Tampa. Still here. Good, Steve. Stay strong. Hopefully the lights stay on there.
Christopher Dobby, GDP is correlated to energy. EU just lost one-third GDP.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will Aiden, Georgia Maloney is pro-NATO, not a pro-Russia traitor. I'm not sure who Georgia Maloney is.
She's the new Prime Minister of Italy.
Oh, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine with a super sticker. Roman, is it coincidence that the USS Kearsarge LHD-3 was in the Baltic Sea just a couple days before Nord Stream pipeline attack?
No, it's not. That's what I was referring to. There was three big ships there, according to Moon of Alabama this afternoon, and Kearsarge was the biggest, and like that likely, you know.
The comment that we just got about menstruation, we can't read it, but I hear you. I just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, and there's two from Catherine in here, from a Catherine that I want to read to, but we can't say, if I say that, we could get suspended. But thank you so much for the super chat.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ivor Zizmok with a super sticker. Boru, you all just broke my heart, but what? Okay, I don't know what that was. If he's talking to us or somebody else. Alexander Lindzen, thank you for your courage to share. Let's see.
Thank you, Alexander.
Okay. Elania J, thanks, Natalie, for sharing for your humanity with a heart.
Thank you.
Yes, we can, from the Netherlands. James Bond, doing a good job. Thank you. Thank you.
James Bond, crimes against humanity are being committed, but the biggest crime against humanity is failing to vote. Vote independent.
Yes, exactly. Partly Sunny says, Clayton looks concerned. No, honestly, I didn't get much sleep last night, and I make breakfast for the kids.
He's slightly less than medium energy today.
I was up super early this morning, and I did not sleep very well last night. So,
is that your glasses there?
Yeah, my glasses are over there, but I got an extra pair. I got them scattered around. So my eyes are all, I'm just I am concerned. I am concerned on many, many levels, but I'm also tired. What the hell is going to happen to this
world?
World. Yeah, that's what I'm mostly.
You stay safe, planet Earth.
Yeah.
Salty ball. Howard Zinn was full of poo. It's not history. It's opinion.
Okay.
That is.
That's the book that Philip and Clayton were talking about. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, and I didn't say it was. I didn't say it was like the gospel. I just said it was the first book I read that opened my eyes to that idea. So, you know,
and that's a great thing, right?
Like fact-checking his stuff.
Yeah. It's a starter pack.
Yeah.
Klaus Votny, John Fossey. Who's really running the show? Blinken, Newland, State Department, and/or some more nefarious creatures behind them, unknown to us all. Thoughts?
Who's Emmanuel really running the show? Never... I mean, I think it's the unelected billionaires who are running the show. We've seen it in action. I mean, just look at Bill Gates. Yeah. I mean, that's who's running the show. Like, these people, they're absolutely running the show.
And screwed due to my higher IQ. Thank you for your super chat. Unfortunately, that's another one we can't read, but we hear you. Emmanuel Kadesh, never sell redacted ever.
Sell it? No, we won't sell it. Sell it to who? Sell it to... See, who would buy it?
I mean,
that's the thing.
Like, Brian Stelter's looking
Bill
for a
Gates.
Gig now, I think.
Would CNN buy this show? Can you imagine?
Brian Stelter would kill for this audience.
Could you, oh, my God. The amount of people we have watching this show is more than CNN.
But you know, so right now we have about 23,000 left. If we got on here and we said, well, guys, we decided to sell our show to a man named Bill Gates, it'd be like, zero. You all would have permission to turn it off. Right. Yeah.
So Bill Gates is buying our show. No.
But we promise it's all going to be on the up and up.
Yes. That'll never happen.
Laugh 66 sending love from Scotland. And Mike Hawk, I couldn't agree more. It's time to end the Federal Reserve. And then we'll go out on that one.
Okay. Awesome. Someone said also that they is redacted a podcast. Yes, you can download the audio version of our podcast if you like. It's available anywhere what you want to get on Spotify. It's on Apple iTunes or a podcast app. It's on it's everywhere. It's on Audible. So yes, you can download Redacted as a podcast as well. The audio version, it publishes about 5 or 6 hours after this live show. So depending on when Philip gets it edited. But yes, you can listen to the audio version as well, but I highly recommend the video version because you get to see the visuals, all the graphics that we're showing you, all of the, you know, we do so much work to put the visual element together. So I highly encourage you, if you can, to watch the video version. Some people have said, yes, but I am visually impaired, so I cannot watch it. I totally understand. Yes, so just for, so you know, we have a podcast available.
We had another super chat about War on the West, the Douglas Murray book. And you can find my review. It was someone specifically asking me on Goodreads. I'm just Natalie Morris on Goodreads. That is an extremely uncomfortable book, but he talks about how there is racism against white culture and white people. And it's used to promote a lot of sort of things for profit or things in the name of wokeism, and that it's something that we need to stop if we want to actually not be a divisive world. It was really uncomfortable for me because I'm the kind of person who probably has sort of thrown around the idea of white hegemony. So for that, it was challenging and I appreciated it. But follow both Clayton and I on Goodreads for books like that and not like that.
Ghost just wrote us a chat. I love this little chat. Says, I think it's Ghost, G-H-O-5-T, says, I love this channel. It feels so cozy just listening to all of you. Thank you so much. That's, you know, we want to invite you in to our place and be able to sit and listen to the news and to be a part of our great community here. So that means a lot. Thank you for your kind words on that.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That is it.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We will see you here tomorrow. Remember, we are live here Monday through Thursday at 9 p.m. Western European time. That's 5 p.m. New York time. And right? No.
No. 4
p.m. Eastern. 4
Eastern.
And 1 p.m. Pacific. And we also have a newsletter. You can join our newsletter and join our community at redacted.inc. And please, before you go, if it's not too much trouble, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. And we'll see you here tomorrow. Say goodbye, Clayton.
Goodbye, everyone. I need some sleep. Peace out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.